Scripture is full of references to the plural nature of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Full of those references. First book in the Bible, Genesis, talks about this. It says, let us. It goes on to talk about the act of creation. Let us. And those very familiar words probably to us at the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That plural nature. So Scripture's full of it. Jesus was constantly referring to God his Father and to the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit and the difference that that makes to people's lives. And there have been lots of different kind of explanations across the millennia to try and help people grasp this idea of three things being one thing, being all equal. From a scripture point of view, one and one add one is not three. One add one add one is one. And so we've been trying to find ways of explaining that. And so St. Patrick used to use the image of the shamrock, and he'd pick up a three-leaved shamrock and he'd say, look, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one stem that unites them all. You might have come across ideas to do with the apple. It's got a skin and a fleshy part and seeds, separate parts. It is an apple. Or water, ice, steam, three separate states, but it's all water. You know, we've got these different ways of trying to describe it. But in recent years, I've become much more interested in what I think God is saying to me, which is, you know, I'm not at all really interested in you trying to explain it. What I'm interested in is you experiencing it. So let's give up trying to explain the Trinity, because in one wonderful sense, it's the mystery of God, which we will discover one day for ourselves in Jesus Christ when we put our faith in him, when we stand before the throne, and all things will be clear. But what I do strongly believe that what God is saying is, I want you to experience me in completeness, in fullness, in unity, and the difference that that will make to your life. Now, I said at the beginning in those verses from Psalm 8 about children, infants and children proclaiming praise. In here, last Monday afternoon, we had a class from Ashbrook School that came because they were doing some work on the Trinity. And they wanted to come into the building to look around and to discover images of the Trinity. And now some of you are going, looking around, trying to find stuff. And in some instances, it's really quite simple because, you know, you look at images of God the Son. Well, we don't have to go too far, do we, when we look at the east window, and that's why the east window is there. So it's a focal point for worship when you're sat there. But also within that window, you can see other images of the Son, not just Jesus on the cross or the cross itself, but you'll see images of the Lamb. And then when it comes to God the Father, well, we're saying that's an unusual one, guys, really, because very often that one might be looked as a heavenly building or a throne of some kind. And you look around and you can see those images in the window and the Holy Spirit. And they will say, yeah, sometimes there's a dove in it, Rev Davis. Say, yeah, you're absolutely right. But also, if you look at these characters and they've got this halo around them, it's signifying the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there are lots of other things around in the building as well. And it was this super time of question and answer and discovery together. And then their teacher, Mr. Scrafton, said to him, well, Dave, we've been looking in our poetry in English about how we describe things, just using two words, to try and encapsulate what that actually means. And so we've been doing that in association with the Trinity. Would you like to hear? You betcha. One girl sat where you are, Anne, actually. that girl called Katie. She said, Holy Spirit, chin lifter. I said, that is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. Katie, I will never forget that. As long as I live, I will never forget that. And I dare to prophesy that now I've said it to you, neither will you. Chin lifter. What does that mean? The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point us towards God the Father, to lead us into his presence. And here's the other thing that I shared with them. It's because when we're feeling a bit low and a bit sad or down or preoccupied, our head goes down. And when our head goes down, our crown slips, right? But when we're looking up to God, the Holy Spirit pointing is there, crown straightened up, and we're into worship. Chin lifter, Holy Spirit. And then another lad said, Jesus, demon crusher. Is that just brilliant? Out of the mouths of children and infants, you have ordained praise. In some versions, it goes on to silence the enemy in worship. I said, yes. Why? Look at the window behind me. What do you see? Jesus on the cross. Yes, what happened to him? He died. Yes, did he stay that way? No. How do we know? What else is there in the window? They looked at it. Well, he's risen, isn't he? Yes, he is. He's come back to life. Who was annoyed by that? The devil. Yes. Demon crusher. Jesus, demon crusher. And I just loved it. Now, here's one for you. And take it away with you and see what you come up with. God the Father. Two words. Go and think. See what the Holy Spirit says to you about describing God the Father. But those wonderful descriptions that are making such a difference. But look, here's the unifying factor. Through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the unifying factor is love. It's all about love. It's like God the Father is saying, if you want to know what love is all about, look to my Son. It's like Jesus the Son is saying, if you want to know all about love, look to my Father. It's how the Holy Spirit is saying, if you want to know all about love, look to the Father, look to the Son, and I will help you see and understand and respond. Total unity. There's nothing missing in the Trinity. All the bases are covered. There is perfect relationship in the Trinity and communion between the Godhead itself. And that is what God is wanting for us, to know and to experience God in his entirety, in his fullness, in relationship with him. And the church gets into problems when either deliberately or inadvertently one side of the Godhead is overemphasized and the another one forgotten about. We get into difficulties. We're meant to keep those things balanced. And the Holy Spirit being there to empower us and to give us strength and peace. I think of all the words that describe that Jesus gave us. In many places, that in the church, the Holy Spirit is kind of sidelined a little bit, or a lot. Oh, that was for then. Holy Spirit was for then. It doesn't happen now. I could go on for another hour with no problem whatsoever giving you testimonies to the contrary. The Holy Spirit is very much alive and now and making massive difference in people's lives. Stuff that happened in the book of Acts and in the early church is still happening now. But we have to open ourselves up to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, to receive him and to step out in faith and to do it. But it's like With the Holy Spirit, a lot of people get really frightened about him. There's a reverent fear of God. And hear me when I say, actually, we need to have more fear of the Lord and less fear of the world. And in that I mean reverence for God. So more fear for God, less fear of the world. But people get worried about the Holy Spirit. Well, he's going to make me do things. Right? Might say stuff to me that I don't want to do. Yeah, that's called discipleship. And walking in step with Jesus Christ. And moving with him. And receiving from him. But that Holy Spirit is there. You know, sometimes we've got to beware as a church that we are not satisfied with just enough of God to keep us out of hell and not enough of God to make a difference. Said some words there, Dave. But there you are. That's the truth, isn't it? God's given us everything we need for completeness and unity and to make a difference in the world so other people can get to know and receive from God like so many of us have. And that is the mission that Jesus gives us. Bishop James, before my licensing, remember Bishop James? The day before my licensing, we sat down together and he says, Dave, let me tell you a little bit about what you'll discover here. People have no problem whatsoever in worshipping God the Father, Creator. Right? But what they'll do is instead they'll twist that and they'll worship creation rather than Creator. But you can use that as a way of guiding them back. As Elizabeth was doing so skillfully the other week in our forest church, looking at the wonder of creation, bringing it back to God Creator, he says you'll have more of a problem with people accepting the name of Jesus Christ and who he is and why he came. He says, and don't stop mentioning Jesus Christ. Keep it at the forefront. Get people saying his name, his full name. And pray God that I haven't since that day, or up to that day, and pray God that I never will. Part of that Trinity. Completeness. Why the chairs? Right, here's my idea. Let's have a look. You know, sometimes, see this image helps. When we are feeling down and defeated, or lonely, or crushed in some kind of way. We're feeling very much on our own. We never are. We never are. Because besides us, God the Father, who says, I am. That's who I am, I am. He's everything we need. I am your strength, I am your courage, I am your resources, I am your love, I am your support. Whatever is our need, I am. We're never alone because God the Father is there. We're never alone because next to God the Father is God the Son, right beside us, always. And he's saying, I am that representation of God. I am the Saviour. I am God who brings you to the Father. You come through me to get to God the Father. I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's his promise. God the Father, God the Son, always with us. There's more. Because when we're feeling alone, we're not just in that state at all. We've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with us always. There to lead, to guide, to strengthen, to comfort, to empower. But if we take one out, we're incomplete. You see, we need all three. all three beside us to keep us perfectly balanced. And the world needs Christians who are totally balanced in the Holy Trinity. That we've got everything we need. That we can speak and respond as a result of that unity that there is there. So when people say to you, well, how do you explain the Holy Trinity then? Well, you could simply say, well, don't worry about explaining it. Why don't you try experiencing it? That's the key thing. And you know, because you hear me say it time and time again, the promise of God is, I am not hiding. I am not hiding. I am there for you. If you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. And why do you need me? God the Son. Because Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation to the Father. We've got to place our trust in him. And when we do that, we're reconciled to the Father and we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus came. That's why we need it all together. So, if there's something that, in my words, that is just, you just feel the Holy Spirit working on there, you might think, yeah, I need to recalibrate. I need to rebalance. Just take a moment's silence now and lay that before God and ask him for his help. What you need to do to enable that to happen.